My greatest wealth is what is inside of me. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California, with our instant inspiration. My greatest wealth is what is inside of me. Well, according to the scientists, what we have inside of us, if we're going to talk like that, is worth 97 cents. It's our body, our flesh, our water, and what have you. My greatest wealth is what is inside of me. Well, now, being metaphysicians and philosophers, we take a step further than just the physical self. We look at the mental self. We look at the metaphysical self, the self that steps beyond the physical. How can we determine that as wealth? How can we determine that as something valuable, something beneficial to us? It is invisible. It is something that everybody has exactly the same thing, and yet everyone uses it differently. Now, why would we use the same thing that everyone has differently? Why would we find ourselves taking the blessings that we have within us and using it differently? Now, let's just look at the artist. The artist takes the blessing within him and paints or draws or sculpts or whatever he does. Now, there are 1,000 artists, let's just say 1,000,000 artists, let's just say 7 billion artists on the face of the earth, so to speak. Now, these artists all have the same capacity within them, the same genius, the same wonderment. But every one of them, without exception, would paint the same picture differently. They would perceive that picture differently. They would perceive, let's say, a landscape differently. Some would paint it with modern themes. Some would paint it with the ability to have it show off just maybe a leaf. And behind this glorious leaf, which is so perfect, is a forest. But the forest is hidden by the magnificence of the leaf. And Leonardo da Vinci did some beautiful hands, as well as Michelangelo. And the hand became such a glorious instrument, so fabulous, so powerful, so glorious, that the body, which stood behind it, was connected to the hand, or the hand connected to the body, was not even paid attention to. It was not even given any much thought about it, because the hand itself was so gloriously done. But now the hand is only a part of the body. And when you're going to art school, you learn how to draw the hand. You learn how to draw the head, the body, the proportions. You learn all the circle things, you know. Because, again, Michelangelo's Eternal Man, I think it was his or Leonardo da Vinci, one, they're the great fellows. They have this Eternal Man, and he's got his arms outstretched and his feet spread apart, and he's standing there representing the perfect circle. And within that perfect circle is his frame. And from top to bottom, to head to toe, to hand, it's the perfect body. Now, the body itself is painted beautifully, just like a great David, and you don't even think about it. You don't even think about it. I find it most charming that when people look at a naked statue or a naked painting, they never feel it is gross. They never feel it is out of line or out of place. And yet, when they see a person unexpectedly like that, they feel that that's improper. Now, you look at the painting, it's unexpected. You didn't expect to see that painting, unless you knew ahead of time. You didn't expect to see the statue of David standing there in his wherewithal, you know. And yet, the moment you see it, you're glorified by it, because it's beautiful. regardless of the genitals, regardless of the face, regardless of the eyes, and how they make those eyes out of stone and steel to stand out like that and just penetrate you. And you look at it and the sockets are empty. There's just a little globe in there. Magnificent, magnificent. Yet, you take an infinite number of artists and give them each the privilege of doing that sort of thing, and they will come up with an infinite number of reproductions. Things that are gross, things that are beautiful, things that are glorious, things that are hideous. It all depends on what's going on in the artist's mind. I've known many artists who were rather somber, and the mother of one of my students at one time was a very somber artist. His father was a medical doctor, and the boy was seeing a dark cloud all the time. And then you meet the mother, and you find out that she's the dark cloud. She is painting in these deep blacks and reds all the time and expressing her inner nature. And you are not at all surprised that the boy has that problem. So, we were working on the boy, Ellen and I, to have him paint a new portrait. A portrait not without the black cloud, but make the cloud white. Make the cloud something beautiful, something good, so that he's not frightened of it and he's not possessed by it. Well, that was another painting. That was another painting. But he preferred the original. He preferred to go back to the dark cloud. And that's all right. The greatest wealth we have is what is within us. When we look to that within us and we name it and name it good, then it is good. It is beautiful. It is rewarding. It is worthwhile. However, if we name it not good, then that's what it is too. It's not that it's not good because we named it not good. It's not good because we conceive of it as being not good. It can be the most glorious thing in the world. It's not good that you inherited $12 million. It's not good because you're going to suffer under that. You're going to do this. Instead of doing that, you say, hey, you've inherited $12 million and you have no idea how to handle it. I recommend you get a financial advisor to work with you on that. That you take that money and you invest it, you take that money and you spend it, you take maybe $1 million, which is outrageous, and you just go crazy. Go buy anything you want to buy. And of course, if you're going to buy a house, it's one. But if you're going to buy a lovely car, you're going to buy suits of clothing, you know, you're going to buy whatever, trinkets and gadgets, you're going to Sharp Edge magazine and buy everything they got in there, you know, because it'd be kind of fun. But you don't want that. You don't want that stuff. Now that you have money, you don't need those time-saving things. You want them only because they're fun, but not because they're going to work for you. Your money's going to work for you. But you're going to make a complete shift, a shift of you being the source of your income to your income being independent of you. And so you're going to look at this from a different side. And it's a new you. It's a new you. Now you can say, oh, I don't want a financial counselor guiding me. I want to spend it how I want. I got $12 million and it can last me forever. Well, that's true. Forever may be however long it takes you to spend it. And a financial counselor is going to guide you so that you make it last and enjoy it and then be attracting more. Now, why is it, if our wealth is within us, that we have these outer sources that appear to be wealth, that appear to be our income coming to us, the abundance of a deceased uncle or something like that, you know, where we are inheriting a great amount of money, which, by the way, we had not expected. If we expected it, mentally, we would have been spending it for a long time. And by the time we actually got it, we'd be changing our mind 100 times. Not because we don't want what we wanted in the beginning, but because what we wanted in the beginning was insufficient for what we wanted to be, what we were going to be. We didn't want to get the greatest dump truck in the world because we no longer were going to be in the dump truck business. You know, we didn't want the greatest 18-wheeler because we're not going to be in it anymore. These are interesting things. These are interesting things. One of the men that we were going to hire to work on our grounds here, he told us that he has this lovely ranch over by Lake Marina, and he has 4 or 5 big dump trucks that he likes very much, and he has tractors like ours that he does work with on people's grounds, plus. And he's a very burly fellow, stocky, well-built, capable of handling anything he would choose to do. And what did he say? He said, hey, your job demands something much bigger than I have. You should contact this person because this person can do your job well. Now, he just threw away a large sum of money that he would have gotten for cleaning up our yard, so to speak. Now, why would he do that? Because he enjoys doing the work with what he has, and if he cannot do it with what he has, he doesn't want to do it. He wants to stay within the realm of his own being. My dad was the same way. My dad was a building contractor. He had tremendous opportunities to be exceedingly wealthy. But he stayed within the limit of what he felt his 8th grade education would provide him. But he went far beyond that. But nonetheless, that was his mental attitude. You see, the greatest wealth we have is what's within us. If my dad had said, okay, we'll step out, but now I will need to have a business manager, someone to manage the business. I will direct the operations and do all these things, but someone to manage the business. But he had always managed the business, so he couldn't conceive of himself outside of that. He said, well, what if they are not doing things correctly and misusing the money and what have you? Hey, nothing is spent without your permission. But he didn't know that. He was so busy running his business and doing his business and doing all the things that he felt that nobody could come in and do any part of it. And that was just fine. That was just fine. He died a successful man. He died with sufficient money to handle him all the rest of his life. He died leaving enough money for mother. So when she died, she even had money left over, you know. And that's a nice way to have it. So, but what was inside of them? What was inside of mother? What was inside of dad? What was inside of any person can be greatness if you don't limit yourself. If you look at what you have and you say, let's make this grow. Let's make this do things. Of course, some people make it do things and lose the whole thing in the process, but that's because they doubt themselves. They think that they're going to lose any. Well, I don't know. I don't really want to. That. I have been through the great depression of 29. You know, I don't want to have that again. No way, you know. And it's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. Well, how we limit ourselves. But we should learn, but when we learn to look inside of ourselves for the answer to anything we want to do, for the answer to anything we want to accomplish, the ability is there. Our great wealth is indeed within us. And it's merely up to us to exercise it, draw it out, show it to ourselves, show it to the world, and have a ball. And as we do that, wonderful things happen. So, I suggest my greatest wealth is what is inside of me, and this is all that I pay any attention to. That's all that has any power in my life. So join with me in thinking these wonderful thoughts, and know that I love you, I love you, I love you.